Spring is here, and you can now get almost anything you need for your sunny days delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? Well, you can't get a well-groomed lawn delivered, but you can get a chicken parmesan delivered. A cabana? That's a no. But a banana? That's a yes. A nice tan? Sorry. Nope. But a box fan? Happily, yes. A day of sunshine? No. A box of fine wines? Yes. Uber Eats can definitely get you that. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details.
Looking to refresh your closet, home, or beauty routine this spring? Walmart's got all the stylish goods in one stop. From chic new looks and the latest makeup to quality furniture and tableware. Go to walmart.com/nowtrending. That's walmart.com/nowtrending for the hottest fashion, home, and beauty finds. Your style at Walmart.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to the Bike Radar podcast, brought to you from the team behind Cycling Plus, MBUK and BikeRadar.com. Welcome to the Bike Radar podcast. My name is George Scott, Editor-in-Chief of Bike Radar, and today I'm once again joined by Simon Bromley, Senior Technical Writer for BikeRadar.com. Simon, great to have you on the podcast and welcome back.
Hey George, how you doing?
I'm pretty good, thank you. We're kind of episode 4 into our series now on indoor training. And we're going to wrap up the series today by talking about how to stay motivated through winter. I think a lot of the things that we're going to talk about will apply to riding generally, but we're going to look at it specifically in regard to indoor training. And if you're listening today and are kind of tuning in for the first time in this series, this is part 4. As I say, in episode 1, we talked through some of our setup tips and how to get the most out of a smart trainer. In episode 2, it was Simon and me again talking about specifically how to choose the best smart trainer for your needs. A very comprehensive buyer's guide in terms of what to look for at certain budgets and the kind of key features you need and you don't need. And on episode 3, I spoke to Matt Cassin, who's a senior physiologist for Wahoo Fitness, the sponsor of this podcast, for a really interesting coaching Q&A covering a whole wide range of topics, including training zones, intensity, recovery, bike fit, nutrition, plenty more. But as I say, I'm here with Simon today to talk about motivation through winter. I think it's a key topic for any rider. Inevitably, staying motivated through winter is difficult with kind of bad weather, depending on where you live. But indoor training is something that has helped there over recent years in terms of smart trainers being more interesting, more interactive, and indoor training apps coming off the back of that. There's a whole bunch of apps now that you can use to keep your training more interesting than ever. So I think just to kind of kick us off, Simon, we're kind of fairly early in winter or kind of still in autumn, to be honest. It's mid-November here as we're recording, but you know, how's your kind of winter training going so far?
Yeah, really well. I find, you know, like I had a very long break from kind of racing this year because my racing season ended in sometime in June because my child hit a sleep progression period and that will just stop training. So I'm kind of really motivated to go for it. But, normally I would have maybe stopped racing, you know, if I'd done a few hill climbs like Jack and Felix, for example. You might have just stopped racing. You might be having like a break, which we definitely would recommend. But yeah, it's all going so far so well. Like I'm easing myself into it. That's one of my key things, is to think ahead. You know, so it's a long time until next season, and you know there's plenty of time to do super hard training. So I'm just trying to ease myself into it, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, that point you made there around, having a break from the previous season, yeah, perhaps from your side it's enforced. But I think, you know, I personally think that's really important, whether you're a pro all the way through to someone who's kind of just dabbling in racing or just kind of someone who rides a lot generally, you know, kind of giving yourself a bit of a chance to have a rest, have a holiday, reset, whatever you need to do, is really key if you are quite motivated going into winter and kind of potentially wanting to train quite hard. And we'll kind of come on to that as well in terms of, you know, I think one of the key points around winter training is just to not to take it too seriously. You don't have to be riding hard from November through to April and then start racing. It's a long year, and I think it's definitely key to remember that. So some of the kind of points that we're going to talk around today in terms of staying motivated through winter, we're going to look at setup briefly again, because it's something we've talked about a lot on this podcast so far, but just how important it is to have the right setup to stay motivated. We're going to talk through some of the training apps that are available in the market, and potentially why they can help you stay motivated through winter. We'll talk a little bit about goal setting. Simon revealed one of his goals for 2022 in a previous podcast, so we'll kind of recap there, and also the importance of a training plan for some riders, just to keep you on track and have some kind of consistency and accountability. And we'll also kind of touch on riding with friends, even online, listening to music, how important that is. And that last point, as I mentioned, just not taking it too seriously. Neither of us here are certainly not world tour pro athletes. We might kind of dabble in racing every now and again, but at the end of the day, bike riding is supposed to be fun, and it's important to remember that. So I think, Simon, just to kind of kick us off, let's talk a little bit about setup. As I said, we've spoken a fair bit about smart trainers and how to kind of get the perfect setup at home on episodes 1 and 2 of this series. But, you know, I think just like riding outdoors, where, you know, having a winter bike or a bike with mud guards, if it's somewhere that's kind of fairly wet, like it is here in the UK, or a good waterproof jacket, you know, that's really important if you do want to ride outdoors a lot in winter, to just kind of have the right kit so that the weather's not something that kind of immediately stops you getting out the door if it's kind of raining. But, you know, how important is it, also to kind of have your setup dialed when it comes to riding indoors?
I think, obviously, you know, you can definitely make do with a very basic indoor bike. And if anyone's seen the kind of Graham Obrey documentaries, you might remember him training on a kind of an indoor bike that looked like it had been pulled out of the 1940s or something. And he was training for a 3-hour record. So it's really, you know, it's possible to do it on a basic setup, but it's like anything, having a nicer indoor training setup is always going to make your indoor training sessions like a little bit easier, a little bit more pleasurable, a little bit more fun. So, you know, obviously if you're on a really tight budget, you can just use whatever you've got. But if you can spend enough money to get yourself a smart trainer, and those generally start around kind of £250, sometimes less if they're on sale, but, you know, that's kind of rarer these days. But if your budget can stretch to something like that, then you can enter the world of kind of interactive indoor training apps, which we'll talk more about your options there later. But I think for me, there's a big step up there, and it is so much more immersive, so much more fun. And as you said, like, you know, bike riding is supposed to be fun, and indoor training has often been seen as a bit of a chore. So anything you can do to make it more fun is generally going to help.
I think it depends as well what type of rider you are. You know, there are some people who will happily ride any bike on an old school turbo trainer, staring at a wall in the garage, doing really hard intervals because they are extremely motivated to complete those intervals and work towards whatever goal is in place for next year or for the winter. And if that's you, then that's fine. And, you know, as Simon said, I think, you know, you can absolutely have a very kind of affordable or kind of budget focused setup and have a great winter indoors on the turbo trainer. You know, I think equally, if you know that you're someone who perhaps struggles with motivation, but you are very keen to make this a good winter, and you think that indoor training is going to be important to you, I think just a few kind of you're certainly investing in a kind of affordable smart trainer is definitely a kind of key decision to make and something we would recommend. But there's also just a few kind of choice accessories and kind of essentials that will just make that experience more kind of pleasurable for you. So as I said, we did kind of talk about these in episode 1, but just to recap, Simon, what are the things you'd absolutely recommend to help someone stay motivated through winter and ultimately just make indoor training a slightly more pleasurable experience?
So obviously, if you're going to get a smart trainer, you're also going to need some kind of smart device to connect it to, whether that be a kind of, you know, your, if you've got a tablet or a laptop computer or a desktop computer to run, you know, one of the apps on, then you'll need that. Like ideally, I think with most of these training apps are, especially the ones which kind of have a virtual world, such as Zwift or RGT Cycling or Ruvi, you know, those are best played on a big screen. So if you can get a kind of cheap HDMI adapter lead to connect your smart device up to a big screen, that can make the experience much more immersive. I'd say the one thing you really, really, really have to have is a fan, because if you know, if you've not done indoor training before, you don't kind of realize how much the kind of just riding through the wind keeps you cool and when you're riding outside. And if you're doing any kind of hard training inside, you're going to want a fan. So, you know, you don't have to spend loads. £20 on Amazon or whatever will buy you a decent fan. And then I think the only other thing I would recommend is something like a riser block for the front wheel. You know, you could use a Yellow Pages if those still exist, or you know, you could get a riser block for £10 or £15. And they just essentially, they raise the front wheel a little bit, either to level out the bike or lift the front wheels, you know, angle the bike up slightly, which just takes the pressure off your hands and stops you kind of sliding forward on the saddle. So yeah, a few essential accessories, but you don't need to go crazy.
Mm. You know, I'm someone who, depending on what way you look at it, was either disorganized or unorganized last winter or tight and didn't have a riser block to begin with. And so used just like a fairly kind of dense, I don't know, like textbook or kind of reference book that I had knocking about to kind of lift the front wheel up. And you know, because at times you're kind of riding hard out of the saddle, maybe sprinting, and it's not designed, obviously, to have a bike wheel on it. The wheel would just kind of slowly edge towards the edge of the book to the point where it's about to fall off. And obviously, if you're kind of halfway through a session, that's not something you want to be happening. So yeah, a riser block won't cost much, maybe even just a tenner on Wiggle or Amazon or whatever cycling retailer you prefer to use. But definitely a kind of smart investment to actually get a product that's designed for the job. I can talk from personal experience. So, you know, just briefly on setup, something that I talked to Mac from Wahoo about in the last episode was just not to neglect kind of nutrition or hydration. When it comes to indoor training, it's very sweaty work. Make sure you've got a bottle of water or kind of an electrolyte mix to hand before you start. But also I think, you know, perhaps one that's less obvious is that if you are training after work, after a long day out on the job, in the office, think about nutrition as well, because, you know, then coming home or finishing work, jumping on the turbo, diving into an hour long session, which invariably is going to be quite hard. If you haven't eaten since midday or 1 o'clock and lunchtime, that kind of hunger knock is going to come knocking fairly quickly. So definitely two kind of key points to recap on there.
Yeah, I think, sorry, George, just to say, like, that was, I thought there's a really good point that Mac made in the podcast that you did with him about kind of, you know, if you're doing hard intervals or you want to do hard intervals, those have to be fueled by carbohydrates. So in order to maximize the quality of your training, you do need to have carbohydrate available in your system. So you know, a lot of people I know kind of maybe going into this winter, maybe trying to like manage their weight. And if you're doing that because, you know, you want to lose a little bit of weight and gain and maybe ride a bit faster, obviously, as long as you're doing that safely, that's great. But you do need to fuel your training sessions properly in order to get the most out of them.
Absolutely. And just the final point here, it's something I spoke about in the first episode, was for me, you know, a really key point when it comes to motivation and indoor training setup is having something that's kind of easy to jump on and ready to go, as opposed to kind of having having to unpack the turbo trainer for every ride or kind of get every kind of piece of equipment together for every ride. And I think, you know, ultimately it depends on where you live and what space you have available, but, you know, for me that's definitely a key point. It's just trying to get everything in place so it's there kind of ready and waiting, and ultimately for me, I don't have any excuses, but, you know, it probably says more about my attitude to training than anything else. So that's kind of set up covered in terms of motivation. I think a small investment is key to make sure you have the right things you need. A budget smart trainer, if you have the money available, a fan, a riser block, and a smart device, of course, to use an app on. So, you know, on that point, I think let's talk a little bit more about training apps, because, you know, that is an area of cycling and indoor training in particular that has developed at a pace over the last few years, in particular. So, you know, there are five main options, or five options that we're going to talk about briefly here, and that's Zwift, Wahoo System, Trainerode, RGT Cycling, and Ruvi. There are other apps available, but I think those are the five kind of key ones to talk about here. So, you know, Simon, from your point of view, actually, I suppose to start off with the indoor training that you're doing now and you've been doing over the last couple of seasons, you know, are you kind of predominantly using an app to cover up those sessions? I mean, how often or how kind of rare is it now for you just to jump on the turbo and slug it out with kind of nothing to kind of keep you going?
Oh, I can't remember the last time I did that, to be honest. Yeah, I think I've been using mainly Zwift for the last couple of years now, and I haven't looked back really. I find it so much more engaging. Now, that's not to say that I couldn't switch over to a different app. I'm sure they would offer, you know, they'd obviously would offer a different package, and I'm sure those would be just as engaging. But up until recently, I've mainly been using Zwift, and yeah, I can't imagine going back to just putting intervals on my my bike computer and slogging it out in front of a well, in front of a wall, or, you know, yeah, in front of a video of a pro race or something. That seems quite archaic to me now.
And yeah, you know, I think, you know, to talk a bit more about some of the benefits of using an app, I mean, clearly there is potentially a kind of a cost implication. Most of them charge in some capacity. But, you know, if you are using a smart trainer, you know, firstly, you can sign up to a training plan, which, if you are motivated to train, is great. We'll come on to this, but it gives you accountability. You know, it gives you consistency. It takes a lot of the thinking out of setting specific sessions for whatever your goal is. It will use your training zones based off a fitness test to almost do the hard work for you in terms of the thinking. You still have to go and complete the session. Also, if you are using a smart trainer, the trainer will be able to automatically adjust the resistance so that you're hitting the numbers for every session, which, you know, in terms of actually kind of reaping the physiological benefits of training, is really key. But I think also each app varies in terms of the approach it takes to training plans, whether it offers kind of videos to work out alongside or a virtual world to ride in. So, you know, as a kind of brief introduction to each app, I think let's firstly take a look at Zwift, perhaps the best known app out there, certainly the one that's had the most, you know, kind of coverage over the past couple of years. So, Simon, for you, what are the kind of key features for someone to look out for when kind of considering Zwift as a training app option?
So I think Zwift focuses on its kind of immersive virtual world, and it's not necessarily overly focused on realism. It's more kind of gamified than most of the apps. And so that works really kind of well if you want to get kind of XP points to unlock new bikes and new kit and to do, you know, get a kind of a badge for doing certain routes and rewards. And, you know, especially now, if you like to do group rides and racing and then be sociable, then that's kind of what Zwift is built around. Now, for me, like, I find riding with other people to be very motivating, and it's something that I would really struggle to do a 2-hour endurance ride on the turbo by myself. But if I join, say, you know, a 2-hour endurance ride with a group on Zwift, because there's that motivation of just, I don't want to get dropped, I find it much easier to just stay with the group. And so that social aspect has been really, really important for me. In contrast to some of the other apps, like, say, Wahoo System or Trainerode, I think Zwift focuses less on kind of customizable training plans. Zwift does have training plans, and it has lots of, you know, group workouts and things like that, but it's not as in-depth a feature as you would find on other apps. So if you are, you know, if you're just the kind of person who's a bit more Spartan and just wants to, as you say, do the intervals, get the job done, and you know, you're kind of focused on your maybe your outdoor goals and the indoor training as a means to an end, then maybe Zwift isn't the kind of thing for you. But like I said, if you want a kind of really immersive indoor cycling experience that has group riding and racing and it's kind of, it's more of its own thing, it's not necessarily always, the goal of Zwift isn't always to kind of improve your outdoor cycling, it's kind of more focused on its own thing, then that's what it's for, really.
Yeah, and yeah, it's a good point as well around the kind of the interactive and the social element, and we'll kind of come on to that a bit later in terms of just how motivating that can be. You know, you don't need to be riding with someone outside on a road or, you know, at a trail center or in the woods to, you know, to kind of reap the potential benefit of kind of buddying up. Good. So, you know, that's kind of Zwift covered on a kind of very kind of top line level. What I would say is that we've got an excellent guide to Zwift on Bike Radar that covers all the features and benefits and potential pitfalls to look out for. So do have a look at that if you're more interested in Zwift. So, but I think to move on, let's talk a bit more about Wahoo System, which is an interesting one in terms of Wahoo is a company that has typically focused on hardware in the past, whether that's with its bike computers, the Element Bolt and the Element Roam. In recent years, more so smart trainers and smart bike through the kind of Kicker range of products. But this year has moved into software specifically by launching Wahoo System, which combines the Sufferfest, which it previously owned as of a couple of years ago, I think, with a few new features and ultimately kind of housing it under the Wahoo brand. So I know this is something you're going to take a bit of a closer look at over the winter, Simon, and haven't necessarily had kind of too much kind of hands-on experience at this stage. But I think the Sufferfest is a product that's been around for a while and it still kind of ultimately exists within Wahoo System. So, you know, what are the key differences there between the Sufferfest and something like Zwift?
So the Sufferfest, and obviously now as it's called Wahoo System, kind of focused on interval sessions set to kind of videos of pro racing. So if you were really into world tour professional bike racing, it was a kind of, it put you in the bike race, and the interval sessions were based around the kind of attacks and the ebbs and the flows of a professional bike race. So you have a lot of, you know, back in the kind of analog days of indoor training, a lot of people would have done interval sessions whilst watching pro videos. And this was a kind of like a step up from that, making it more immersive, you know, kind of more synced to the race so that, you know, your intervals matched what you were seeing and hopefully that gave you the motivation. I think now that it's been wrapped into System, it's kind of taking a more holistic approach where you can get more kind of customizable long-term training plans with activity to do sort of indoors as well as outdoors and off the bike as well. So if that's something you're interested in, because, you know, maybe you like to do a little bit of gym work because it's good for you, like good for your general health, then that sort of stuff is all wrapped up into Wahoo System. It also, I think they're kind of like making a slightly bigger deal about the new content they've got available. So if you're into kind of like classic cycling films, or, you know, you want to watch documentaries about epic gravel races and things like that, then they're doing lots of those things too. So it's a kind of, it's not a virtual world cycling app. It's more of a kind of interval training holistic approach to, you know, kind of more of a lifestyle cycling app, I would say.
And I think one of the really interesting things potentially about System that you spoke about there was how I believe it's designed to combine the training that you're doing inside through the workouts that it prescribes with what you're doing outside, whether that's on the bike or, as you say, kind of off the bike with gym work or core stability work. And I think, you know, if you are someone who is very motivated by training and you do ride outdoors a lot, which most people will continue to do, having an app or a coach that's taking both of those factors into account, I think is really important, because you know, whilst you're, if you're kind of following an indoor training plan, that's great if it's focused on indoor training and that's ultimately, you know, most of the riding you're going to be doing. But if you're following all of that training plan and then going out and riding for 4 hours at the weekend really hard, then you know, clearly you need to kind of be factoring in both aspects, both when it comes to the potential benefits and kind of training adaptations, but also recovery and potentially kind of not overtraining as well. So let's move on now to Trainer Road. And I think, you know, of the three we've mentioned so far, Swift, Wahoo System and Trainer Road, they're probably the kind of best well-known on the market at the moment. But Simon, can you kind of talk us through what Trainer Road is?
So Trainer Road is probably the most kind of pared back of all of the indoor training apps. And, you know, you can look at that in two ways. It's kind of like it's just interval training and training plans based around that. But if you just want to follow, you know, you just want to do really simple workouts that are very, very easy to follow, it's kind of based around, you know, good science and stuff like that, then it's a really great way to get fit. And it's what a lot of kind of dedicated outdoor racers would have used for a long time, in the sense that there's no kind of like, there's no group rides, there's no virtual worlds, there's not really any free riding. It's very, very focused on doing interval training to get you stronger and get you fitter for doing outside races.
Yep. And yeah, as you say, you know, it is pared back, and we have a guide to the best indoor cycling apps on Bike Radar, and I'll make sure that we put a link to that piece in the description for this podcast. But how we describe it there is laser focus on interval training and training plans, which, you know, absolutely kind of sums up what Trainer Road's about. If you are very focused by training and you don't ultimately need everything else that potentially comes with an app, then Trainer Road might be a good option. I think let's just kind of briefly talk about RGT Cycling and Ruvi, because they're two kind of the newer entrants, I think, over the past couple of years. And like Swift, they are kind of based around kind of interactivity and having kind of virtual roads to follow, or sometimes kind of real world roads on a kind of video. So firstly, with RGT Cycling, Simon, can you kind of talk us through what that is and why potentially someone should be looking at it?
So RGT Cycling, which stands for Road Grand Tours Cycling, is a kind of, it's more of a Zwift competitor. So, but it has a kind of more, whereas Zwift is a very kind of non-realistic kind of gamified virtual world, the RGT Cycling world is more, it has a more realistic slant, and rather than having kind of, you know, made up worlds that Zwift does, RGT Cycling's courses are based off real world locations. And it has like Mont Ventoux in France, Passo dello Stelvio, the Paterberg in Belgium, those sorts of things. So if you kind of, you know, if you're a big cycling fan and you know, maybe you follow the Tour de France and the Giro d'Italia, and you kind of like the idea of simulating those kind of real world places inside, then it could be a good option for that. I think one of the big selling points for RGT Cycling is that they have a kind of free to use tier. So if you're just getting started out or you're on a very limited budget, then, you know, that's a really good way to kind of try it out, get into it, and just, you know, see how you get on. I would suppose the, you know, where RGT Cycling falls down, I suppose, compared to Zwift, is it doesn't have the same big user base. So if you're kind of wanting that constant availability of big group rides and always something to do, then it's not at that same level as Zwift yet, but it does offer a compelling alternative, you know, just simply because it's free and it's a, you know, it's quite a polished package for what you get.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that point around the fact that ultimately the kind of basic tier doesn't cost anything, you know, that's it's important to remember. You know, we are kind of overwhelmed with subscriptions these days, both kind of in cycling and outside of cycling, and you know, whilst individually some of them don't cost a huge amount compared to some of the investment you can make in bike products, of course it adds up over months and years alongside everything else that we're being asked to stump up for. So definitely worth checking out there if you are looking for a free or an affordable option. I think also one of the interesting features around RGT Cycling is the ability to upload your own GPX file, and then the app can create a course for you to ride in game off the back of that, and your smart trainer will then adjust the resistance according to that course, which, you know, if you're someone who is training for a specific climb or a specific event, you know, whilst I would always say that the indoor version is never the same as the outdoor version, even if you kind of want it to be, or the kind of smart trainer is trying to replicate it, it is useful to try and kind of get a gauge of the difficulty and perhaps where you need to be focusing your training. Although that is a premium feature, so that is one you would have to pay for. And then finally, when it comes to the kind of key indoor training apps, there's Ruvi, which takes a slightly different approach, Simon, doesn't it? In that it kind of uses augmented reality to provide the interaction.
Yeah, that's right. So Ruvi uses kind of videos shot on real life locations. Also, they have most of the big kind of Tour de France, Giro d'Italia climbs, that sort of thing. And it uses, as you say, augmented reality to put your avatar in those videos. And then, it then gives you that ability to simulate all of these famous real world climbs indoors. Now, reading kind of comments from a few people, I've noticed that some people find it, because it's simulating these real world climbs, some people find the trainer difficulty settings quite tough on Ruvi. So that's something to consider, that if you're simulating a very hard climb indoors and you're simulating it accurately as Ruvi does, then you need to gear as if you were riding it in the real world. And I think that often catches a few people out. But yeah, that the Ruvi's main selling point is it has these augmented reality videos of kind of big famous climbs. So again, if you really liked the idea of training for a Tap the Tour sportif or something, and you want to like kind of get that the video of that climb so you know what to expect come next summer, then that could be a good option.
Mm. Or if you're someone who's motivated to ride the Stelvio at maximum difficulty five times a week.
Yeah, then... in your spare room or whatever, yeah, you want to replicate how tough it is to ride the hardest climbs in Europe.
Well, there we go. That's a kind of overview of the five kind of key apps as we see them: Zwift, Wahoo System, TrainerRoad, RGT Cycling, and Ruvi, each of which has its own benefits and features and elements that will appeal to different riders depending on what you're after. So most of them, if not all of them, I think, offer a free trial of sorts. So, you know, if you are kind of just dipping your toe into the world of indoor training, or perhaps are already using an app but are interested to see what's out there, definitely recommend utilizing those free trials, because there are multiple options. You don't need to settle on one. And I think, you know, the key point there is that, you know, ultimately from our experience, using a training app is probably the best way to keep yourself motivated through winter. So let's move on, I think, to goal setting. And, you know, this applies whether you are someone who isn't going to use the Turbo Trainer at all through winter, or perhaps on the flip side, if you're someone that is almost exclusively going to ride indoors. You know, I think either way, it's really important to have a goal. And this is something you've spoken about previously, Simon, in terms of you working towards time trials. And I think it was a sub 19 minute time trial around our local course next year. Yeah, I think this was also something that Matt Cassin from Wahoo spoke about when I interviewed him for the previous episode. Having a goal is really important, but I think in a sense you don't need to overthink it. You know, if you are someone who has a very specific goal like Simon, that's great, and you can kind of tailor your training to work towards that. But, you know, also you can be your goal could simply be to complete a training plan. Or you could be very specific on a individual training metric, i.e. raise your FTP by 20 watts over the course of winter. So I think, you know, when we spoke about this before, Simon, you said you're someone who absolutely kind of needs a goal to work towards to kind of have that kind of underlying motivation.
Yeah, I find it really difficult to do the hard training unless I've got a specific goal. Now, I do, you know, like most people, I like to be fit enough to ride with my friends, and preferably be slightly fitter than them. So, you know, that's generally enough motivation to kind of get me out of bed and do something. But to really do the hard stuff, I need to have something more specific. Now, of course, you know, that could be entirely personal. So if you're motivated to just do the hard stuff day in, day out without a goal, obviously that's absolutely fine. But for me, like, just having a kind of more specific goal, whether it, and obviously for me, it's as you say, it's kind of time trialing and being able to do, slightly better my time on my local course. That just gives me something to kind of narrow my focus down from a kind of, you know, because when you kind of look at the availability of choices for workouts, it's kind of like, what should I do? Like, and if your goal is to just to get generally fitter, then it doesn't really matter. You can, any, you know, an extra bike ride is better than not doing the extra bike ride in that sense. And you can just kind of mix it up and work on your general fitness. As you said, you know, if your goal is just to get fitter and complete a training plan, that's absolutely fine too. But for me, I like having something a little bit more specific. So if you're not a racer, that maybe doesn't apply. But, you know, if you're training for a big sportive like the Fred Witton or something, that can give you something specific to train to as well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, again, to go back to training apps, the fact that most apps, or if not all of them, have ready-to-go training plans for you to sign up to, you know, that is a great feature in terms of, you know, I think you firstly need to broadly decide on what your particular goal is, if that is something that motivates you. But then in terms of putting that into action, you can choose a training plan that's either specifically designed for that. You know, there will be training plans out there designed, for example, to crack a century ride, if that's your goal for next year. So, you know, that definitely is a key feature of the indoor cycling apps that are around there, that many are devised around specific training goals. But I think also, if perhaps you're wanting to think broader than following a training plan, you can also just set yourself a challenge, just like you would out on the road, using something like Strava or a training diary or however you want to do it. So whether that's completing a certain amount of kilometers or virtual miles through a week or a month, the Festive 500, the Rafa Festive 500 that runs over the festive period, is open now to riders who want to complete those miles indoors. But also, you know, a great event or challenge that I did at the start of this year with the Tour de Zwift, which, you know, I suppose the easiest way to describe it is a virtual stage race, whereby for stage one, you would have, I think, like 3 or 4 days to complete it, and then it would be stage two, and it'd be held over different courses within Zwift, you know, from a pan flat kind of criterium course through to the Innsbruck climb. And I found that really motivating at the start of the year when I was finishing work, you know, it was dark, the weather was bad outside, we were in lockdown, so it was very difficult to get out, full stop. But to have variety within my kind of training schedule, and ultimately the goal was to complete the Tour de Zwift. So I think whatever approach you take, whether it's signing up for a training plan built around your goal or setting yourself a different challenge, ultimately kind of having a goal just gives you that motivation to jump on the turbo when sometimes you perhaps might not be feeling like it. So let's move on to the next point, and that's around kind of the kind of social aspect of indoor training, which, you know, in the past has potentially been something that is quite isolated. There hasn't really been an option to ride with other people, to the extent that, you know, for some people, the only way to ride with people when you're on a turbo trainer is to physically get together. And I know that, you know, some cycling clubs, certainly here in the UK, in the past have held turbo nights where people kind of take the turbo down to the kind of clubhouse or the kind of local village hall and jump on the turbo with kind of 10 or 20 other people. And that, you know, that still is great. You know, it's still great to get together and kind of have that session and probably have your coach kind of shouting at you in real life. However, you know, many of the apps out there now do have functionality for virtual group rides, which I think is, you know, particularly good if you can't get out of the house, if you have other commitments, or if you don't live close to your clubmates or friends. For example, I think back to last year when we were back in lockdown, we held a number of Bike Radar team rides kind of early in the morning before work. And, you know, that was great. You know, for me, that was a real motivator to get up at a time when I perhaps didn't want to get up, do a group ride. And Simon, you organised that. We also kind of had a Slack call, wasn't it? Just to kind of have a chat at the same time. And I personally found that really motivating at what was quite a difficult time anyway with lockdown. But, you know, can you talk us through some of the kind of features that are out there in terms of being able to kind of host virtual group rides?
Yeah, so for Zwift, there's an in-game function where you can actively set up a group ride and you can choose the course, choose the time, choose the type of ride you have. So what's quite nice about Zwift's group ride functionality is that you can set it so it's a kind of free ride so that, you know, people can kind of race if they want to, or you can set the group to remain tethered together, which makes it easier for, you know, if you've got people who are, you know, not as fit or as some of your faster people, you can all ride together without the kind of the slowest person having to work really hard. And so that's quite a nice feature. As you say, we had to use Slack for kind of group call, which I think makes it more social, because Zwift doesn't have a kind of inbuilt feature for that. But another popular one that I know a lot of people use is Discord. And I think that's free. And again, it just enables you to kind of set up a video or a voice call that you can kind of overlay on top of the group ride, and then, you know, like in a real group ride, you can just chat rubbish, which is, you know, like 90% of the fun of a group ride is just chatting rubbish. And obviously, so yeah, it can be a group ride, like just a free ride. You just turn up and sociably ride for half an hour, 45 minutes or an hour. But you could also do a group workout where you set like a specific interval based workout. Now, if you're using one of the other platforms like Wahoo System or Trainer Road, as long as everyone has an account, you know, you can all just kind of like start the same interval training session at the same time and agree to meet on, like I say, a Discord call or a video call with your group. Or if you've only got one friend, obviously you can just FaceTime them or, Messenger video or whatever. And so, like you said, it's just like riding with someone in the real world. It gives you that kind of sociable aspect, just to kind of chat rubbish to make the kind of minutes go a bit more enjoyably. And having that accountability of, you know, I've said I'm going to meet these people at this point, at this time, on this platform, rather than, you know, at this place. Just it helps get you out of bed. Like, I don't think, you know, I've only ever missed a group ride if I've had like a real genuine excuse, such as, you know, being ill or, you know, I've punctured on the way to it. I don't think I've ever pulled out of a group ride from being lazy, just because I'd be sort of, you know, mortified at letting other people down. So for someone like me who really enjoys the social aspect of cycling, I think it's a really good idea. And like, obviously the Sunday club run with your, you know, local cycling club is great, and I don't think this sort of like replaces that outdoor thing, but it's like, as you said earlier, it's more about kind of doing these extra social rides at a time, you know, when it's like 7 p.m. and dark on a weekday evening. You're not going to go out and do a group ride. Well, most people are not going to go out and do a group ride at that time, but you could do that indoors.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, just like joining a club for that kind of weekend club run, you know, that point you made around kind of, you know, not letting people down, or, you know, kind of being motivated by the fact that you're kind of meeting up with a group. I think for a lot of people, that's really important. So it can definitely be applied to indoor training, and the fact that it's a lot easier now through training apps is great. The next point we wanted to discuss actually is almost the opposite to that. If you are training on your own, and don't have kind of people to ride with, or don't want to do a group workout, listening to music for me is a really kind of still a really important way to stay motivated through a specific session. And, you know, it's not necessarily a motivator to kind of get on the turbo in the first place, but you know, if you're kind of completing a really hard session, kind of having that, you know, kind of high tempo music or kind of beat to work towards, when perhaps your mind is starting to tell you that this is really hard and there's perhaps better things to be doing, is really important for me. I think, you know, on the flip side, you know, if it's a kind of longer ride, you know, listening to a podcast again is a really nice way just to kind of distract yourself from what is still a kind of fairly monotonous activity in terms of the legs are always turning over. So, I mean, is that something that you do as well, Simon? Do you kind of listen to music or podcasts, or are you just kind of head down and focusing on outdoor Zwift?
No, I'm absolutely the same as you. Like, I think podcasts are, you know, especially the Bike Radar podcast, which has a very large back catalogue of shows, is great for those kind of easier rides where, you know, even if you're on a kind of immersive cycling app, like they are still, you know, a bit like riding outdoors, they can still be a little bit monotonous. And so it's like a nice opportunity to learn something new, and because you can still take that information in, you know, generally if you're doing a longer ride, it should be easy enough that you can still concentrate and take that in. So that's a nice way of listening to those podcasts. And but yeah, for harder sessions, it has to be music for me, because I find that if you can match the kind of tempo of the song to the kind of tempo of your cadence, you know, really, and obviously there are scientific studies to prove this, but music can really enhance your flow, and you can just draw that little bit out of yourself. Like I know there are, you know, if I really need to dig deep, there are certain songs that help me dig at that little bit deeper. So, you know, if I'm doing a kind of 20 minute interval at FTP, you know, I might have it in the back pocket for the last 5 minutes of it or something. So, yeah, 100%. Like, just like you would do if you were kind of, you know, warming up for a race or something, you might be playing kind of songs that motivate you, songs that make you feel powerful, that sort of thing. That sort of stuff really helps you in getting those extra few percent out of your hardest interval sessions.
Yeah, I think there was a training session that I remember doing on Zwift last year. I think it was the Gorby, I think, which is,
it's a really hard one. I find that, I'm not sure if I've ever completed that.
Yeah, I think, I'm not sure if I did either, to be honest. It was really tough. And there's another one I can't remember off the top of my head that I've done that was equally hard. I wouldn't get anywhere as far along with those sessions as I did without, you know, having some kind of music to work towards. So definitely key, I think, if you're kind of embarking on some tough interval sessions. Okay, well, the final point that we are going to talk about today is actually kind of in contrast to a lot of what we've kind of spoken about so far, and that, you know, I think in order to stay motivated, I think ultimately don't take it too seriously, unless you are a World Tour pro or are just a hardcore athlete who as an absolute kind of masochist and loves kind of turning yourself inside out kind of day in, day out. You know, bike riding, as we said, is supposed to be fun. Training is supposed to be fun. Whether that's about kind of self-improvement or working towards a goal or being able to kind of use that indoor training to then drop your mates on the club run at the weekend. And I think, you know, I think that definitely is a key point to bear in mind, you know. If you miss a session, if you miss a week of training because work is tough or family life is tough, I think ultimately it doesn't really matter, does it?
No, and I think it's a really, like you said, it's a really important point to remember. And I've certainly been guilty of doing this in the past, of taking it way too seriously. And, you know, as someone who's involved in the cycling industry, like taking things seriously and looking at all of the nerdy details, that is something I enjoy. But it can reach a point where it takes over your life. And I think, you know, like you said, if you've signed up to a training plan, like it's great if you can fully commit to it and complete every session. But if you have to miss the occasional session because life gets in the way, like, you know, you're, as you say, unless you're training for the Olympics or to win the Tour de France, like it, you know, it really doesn't matter. And you shouldn't beat yourself up if you have to miss a session. And likewise, if you just, you know, if you're feeling like you're getting too tired, one of the best pieces of advice I've had from coaches is to kind of, you know, if you're not sure, have a break rather than do too much and, you know, potentially make yourself so tired or demotivated that you catch a cold or you kind of fall out of love with it, because missing one session, having a little break and, you know, bouncing back the next day is always going to be better than doing one session too many, catching a cold off your child who's you know, like riddled with bugs from going back to school or whatever, or from your office co-workers who have children. and then, you know, you miss 2 weeks because you've got a cold, or you've just, like, you think, you know, you've done too much training and you just think, like, I just can't do this anymore. Like, I'm just sick of this. So you'll end up in a far worse place. And like you said, it really is about having fun. So if you're training to the point where it's not fun anymore, then it's probably worth just sort of looking at the bigger picture, dialing it back a bit. As we said right at the start of this podcast, like it is a long winter. You know, it's the 17th of November here. We're barely out of autumn. So if you have goals that are next summer, there's no need to be 100% on it all the time right now.
Mm. Yeah. And I think as well, when we are talking about, you know, motivation in this podcast and how to stay motivated, I think, you know, keeping it fun and interesting and engaging for yourself is the key there, because ultimately if anything is not fun and you don't have to be doing it, then you're less likely to do it. I think also kind of related, you know, something that we kind of discussed before is that idea of, not going down the rabbit hole of comparing yourself to every other rider that you follow on Zwift or Strava. We know this is something that can kind of creep into everyone's kind of daily life at the moment with kind of social media and so on. But, ultimately, I think just focus on doing what you want to do, you know, whatever session it is, whatever ride you want to do. Whether that's kind of indoors or outdoors, you know, I think that's really key. I think, I'm someone who can definitely kind of beat myself up a bit if I perhaps felt, oh, yeah, I can't be bothered to ride today. And then you see that someone else has got out and then you think, oh, I really should have. And as we said, you know, that kind of motivator around like group rides, I think is definitely really important. But ultimately, as the old kind of cliche goes at the moment, you be you.
Yeah, definitely. And I think you're right, you know, with things, social media it being what it is, and especially it's in kind of in cycling now through things like Zwift and Strava and all of these other kind of social platforms, it's really easy to see what everyone else is doing. And certainly if I go on the Zwift Companion app or on Strava and see all the riding that some people are doing, you just think like, how, like, I don't understand how people have all this time to do all this riding or can, you know, have the kind of capacity to recover from it. But everyone is different. And what you do on an indoor cycling app is not the same as bike riding outside. You know, it's really important to remember that, you know, indoor training often boils down to a kind of watts per kilo contest, whereas real world bike riding is very rich. You know, like, it's about drafting. It's about, can you get your head down in the time trial position? You know, it's about course knowledge. And so all of these other factors play in. And so if you're just comparing your FTP to someone else or the hours that they're doing on the indoor trainer, you're not getting a full picture of what that's going to translate to in the real world. So focus on your personal improvement. Try not to measure yourself against others. You know, it's so easy to fall into that trap, but it never really helps. You know, just because someone else is doing a 15 hour 20 hour a week on the bike, it's never meant that you need to do that to be successful as well. You know, what you need to do is just make small continual improvements and try and sustain that over the long term. Trying to do a really big week one week, if it's not sustainable, it won't be useful. So yeah.
And, you know, also, you know, if you are someone who doesn't care at all for indoor training, then firstly, you've done very well to get to 50 minutes into this podcast. That equally, that's fine. You know, there's a very funny column that we ran, I think, last year from our former colleague Matthew, paying homage to the outdoor bike ride, you know, as someone from Matthew's point of view who just isn't interested in indoor training. I think let's just not lose focus of why most of us ride bikes in the first place. I think indoor training and outdoor riding can complement each other brilliantly, because you can be so focused indoors and there are so many potential kind of training and kind of time saving benefits to reap. But if you want to go and ride your bike outdoors, then go and do it. I think that's the simplest thing to say.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree with that. And I think, even amongst cycling tech journalists, I'm the only person who at the moment is a really dedicated indoor training person. I'm sure that will ramp up as the weather gets worse, but like just because it's kind of it's a very fashionable thing to do right now doesn't mean that you have to do it as well. So riding your bike outdoors is still fine.
There you go. And I think, that's a good place to kind of wrap things up. And, you know, if you are someone who does do a lot of indoor training, it's great. We hope you have a strong winter wherever you are. If you are coming into winter, you know, hopefully these tips have been useful. Just to recap, our kind of six top tips to stay motivated through winter when indoor training. One, get your setup dialed. It's really important to have equipment you can rely on. Two, sign up for a training app. There are six that we covered, most of which, or you know, if not all of them, offer a free trial of sorts, so you can get to grips with the training app that will work for you and your kind of riding style and riding needs. Three, have a goal. We think it's really important to be focused and have a goal to work towards when it comes to long-term motivation. You can also use that goal to sign up to a training plan, which is great for consistency in your training. Four, don't neglect the social element. There are virtual group rides, virtual workouts. You can have a chat with a mate on the phone or on a video call whilst on the indoor training, on the indoor trainer. Number five, listen to musical podcasts if you're not talking to someone. Some of these indoor training sessions are really hard, which is, you know, can be great in terms of the amount of work it requires to do. But from personal experience, completing those sessions, those really hard sessions with no music, is almost impossible. So get yourself fired up with a good playlist. And six, don't take it too seriously, because if you're not having fun, then ultimately you're not going to stick to what you're doing. So definitely a key point to remember. So as I say, hopefully that's been useful. We'll wrap up there. Simon, thank you very much for joining me once again on the podcast.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. And I will say one more thing, and just because this is a winter training one, and we wrote it down in the notes and I want to get it out there. You don't have to ride on Christmas Day if you don't want to. Even in my most serious years of serious training, the whole kind of like posting on social media about how many kilometers you've done on Christmas ride is a real humble brag. And I think it's fine to take Christmas Day off and just have a few drinks and eat some food.
Definitely enjoy your turkey, enjoy your Christmas pudding, enjoy whatever you want to enjoy.
Absolutely.
over the festive period, because there's always next year.
Exactly.
And of course we'll be back in January with a podcast, I'm sure, on New Year's resolutions and goals and everything that always comes at
well,
that time.
Well, yeah, if you don't
year,
take so. Any time off, there'll be nothing to improve, so
exactly. Well, let's leave it there. Thank you very much for listening to the Bike Radar podcast. If you haven't listened to the previous episodes in this series, because we are wrapping it up today, I recommend that you do so. Some great tips there in terms of getting the most out of indoor training. But of course, we will be back with the regular Bike Radar podcast very soon. So once again, thank you very much for listening, and we will speak to you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Bike Radar podcast. If you want any more information on what we've been talking about or more news and views on cycling, check out bikeradar.com.